And before we begin, we have to ask a few questions. If we get, just get through the questions tonight, that's also something. Again, it's not specific to Halachmani, because this is the yisod of the whole Yisrael Mitzrayim. The obvious questions that arise are, what do you mean Halachmani da'chol ha'batan ha'baraz Mitzrayim? I'm talking something like Lachamoyim Mitzrayim. This is Maran, right? In Mitzrayim, Chazal, B'nai Shalom always complained in the middle. We remember the good things we used to have, KFC, Subway, all these things we had back in Mitzrayim. We never ate Mitzrayim, Halachmani. So what does it mean Halachmani da'chol ha'batan ha'baraz Mitzrayim? It's not true, they had good food in Mitzrayim. And what is the kesher between all the various parts? Kol dichni yechol, kol dichroch yechol yisach, hashata hachol, hashana avod arin yisrael, hashata avod, hashana avod b'nechor, and all the various pieces in the Halach Manah seems to be a couple of phrases. One phrase has nothing to do with the other. But the yisod is the following. What is the real reason it says in the pasuk why we eat matzah on the Pesach? The Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim, they left in such hurry, haste, that the dough didn't rise. Who spoke about dough? Bindel! Dough! Anyways, that's the whole reason why, because it ran out of its time. It was a technical problem. There wasn't enough time for it to rise. That's the whole reason why. I mean, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Pari wants us to go to Mitzrayim. If we waited in Mitzrayim another 5 minutes, it wouldn't have been so gefährlich, right? If we waited in Mitzrayim another 5 minutes, did it risen? No. If you wait 5 minutes, Pari anyhow wants us out. Oh, so you're going to say the mutzvah, then you have to run away like fire. Very good. Chaim Shlomo says that from Yosef HaTzadik. It says about Yosef HaTzadik, that Yosef HaTzadik did what? By the Eishes Potiphar, she grabbed onto his beged, and he ran out, and that was her whole evidence. She had evidence, here is his beged. Yosef HaTzadik, why don't you just turn around, take the beged away from her, he's probably stronger than her, and then run out. Why did he leave her with the beged? She had all his evidence. What did he say? That when you're running away from an Esoim, when you're running away from the Yetzer Hara, you don't go back, not even for half a second. When you go back, you're in danger. Chas v'chalila of feeling it. Okay, so anyways, so these are the kashas. Kids, so why was it Klal Yisrael? Why is it so important, this whole idea of Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim in such haste? Fine, culture.
So what is the question? The question is, that's not true. Holachmani de'achol avasan baraz Mitzrayim. Klal Yisrael were under Fedis Kinney, you say that they ate lechem only Mitzrayim. It's the Maral's question. It's not true. What does the Torah say? Why do we eat matzah? To commemorate what? Because when we left Mitzrayim, we left in such haste that the matzah that we baked didn't
rise.
That time to rise. And that's why we eat matzah. Not kiilu holachmani de'achol avasan baraz Mitzrayim. We were commemorating and we were poor Mitzrayim. It's not true. Many times the Torah Klal Yisrael remember the good food they had in Mitzrayim. There was a kafim rimon and there was a this and there was a that. There's all these things in Mitzrayim. So what is the Balak got to say? Holachmani de'achol avasan baraz Mitzrayim. And besides that, we also have to understand why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu want Klal Yisrael to leave Mitzrayim in such haste? Ten lehem chamesh dakot. Let the bread rise, let the dough rise, let it be bread. And because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's why we're commemorating, because he didn't even let them wait those 5 minutes. What's the significance of not letting Klal Yisrael wait those 5 minutes? Mitzrayim weren't going to change their mind. I mean, Pari was dying for Klal Yisrael to get out of Mitzrayim already. Everybody was dying there. So therefore they could have waited another 5 minutes. So what's the significance of the matzah to lose the rise? And then what is the Hemshech Hadvar? Kol Dichven Yetzer V'Yechol, Kol Ditzrich Yetzer V'Yitzach. We invite everybody from the outside in. How does this follow on from Halach Manya? Why is this the beginning of Seder night? And then we continue. Hoshata Abdin Awe Avodim Lashon Abo V'Nechoyrim. Hoshata, today we're in Etzi, we're in Chutz Loretz. And the Shana Abol Din Etz Yisrael. What is the Hemshech Hadvar? These four sentences in Halach Manya, one has nothing to do with the others. Those are basically, we kids are all the questions. Sorry? What is the connection between each? How does each one follow on to the other? Holach Mani, how does that follow on to Kol Dichrin and Kol Ditzrich? How does it follow on to Hoshata Avda and Hoshana Bob and Ichor? Hoshata Hewin Gol and Hoshana Bob and Ichor? In Eretz Yisrael. What is it? The answer to all these questions means that it's very, very important to notice the following. This is Be'em is very important for you to know when you go home for Ben Ezman. Certain people do things here in Israel that they won't get up to if they'd be at home. Okay. Right, so what's the teretz? The teretz is the following. We have to realize that Yecheskel HaNovi, and this is the same Yisod, that whoever's going to be at the end of Zman is going to hear that this is the one Yisod that we're going to follow through the whole Agadosh Pesach as far as we get. The Yisod is that Yecheskel says in Perek Tazavov that he described the Yitzir of Mitzrayim to a Leidah, to a birth. All those psukim that you say in the Agadosh Pesach, the Eriyoim, the Eriyah, the Oimeloch, all those sukkim you're going to say in Agadosh Pesach, are all taken from Yecheskel. Yecheskel describes the late of the birth of Klal Yisrael. Litzis Mitzrayim has the birth of Klal Yisrael. Talks about the placenta and the blood and what a birth looks like. That Klal Yisrael leaving Mitzrayim, that's what it was. The later the birth of Am Yisrael. When they were Mitzrayim, they had to go pain because a woman, when she's pregnant, she has birth pangs, and the pangs come to its peak, and then the child comes up, then Klal Yisrael. All the pain that we had in Mitzrayim, Klal Yisrael came out of Mitzrayim. That was the later of the Am Yisrael in Mitzrayim. Now, this is the later of Klal Yisrael b'poal. This is where Klal Yisrael was born b'poal. When was Klal Yisrael born b'koach? When was Klal Yisrael born as a nation? Potentially, that was by Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu was the first one. I'm going Gemara. If anybody talks, I'm going back and inviting Gemara. When was Klal Yisrael born? But when was Klal Yisrael born? B'koach, Vayomer Hashem el Avraham, Lech lecha mi'aretzcha milatcha mi'beisavicha la'aretz asher erecha. And then Ve'eseh Yischal Agoy Godel. That's the next pasuk. In the same way as when Klal Yisrael were born, B'koach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Avraham Avinu the following: in order to plant the seeds B'koach of Klal Yisrael, one thing you have to do is Lech mi'aretzcha milatcha mi'beisavicha. You've got to leave everything behind, because Klal Yisrael is a unique nation which has no tzad hashutafut, which has no common linking it up with any other nation. We know that Shivim Umos, but there's Klal Yisrael in the middle. Sheva corresponds to the scattering of Shiva Drochim Yenusu Vanecha, a riboy at Tziruf. Klal Yisrael is in the center. The center hasn't got any Tziruf. Klal Yisrael is completely on its own. It's an Am Nifchar, way above. Am Levodat Yishkoin, Bilam understood. The Pasuk in Bilam in his Nevuah, the Am Levodat Yishkoin, Klal Yisrael Levad, they're unique. Unique and nothing but unique. And therefore, Kadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham Avinu, if you sow the seeds for Klal Yisrael while you're still in Artzecha, or you're still in Malad Atecha, or still in Beis Avicha, then Klal Yisrael is sown in your father's house. Then Klal Yisrael is intrinsically linked to Terach. Klal Yisrael has to leave completely. Has to go to Eretz Asherecha. Has to go to Eretz Yisrael, because Eretz Yisrael is a unique land, as you all know. Right? Eretz Yisrael is a unique land. Eretz Yisrael spits out. It throws up the Oyv Ravera, has an intrinsic kedusha, which makes it the Gemara says it's an Edron. Eretz Yisrael is gevoa mikol haaretz, because it's unique. Even though geographically it's not gevoa, but it's unique. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Avraham Avinu, there's only one place where you can sow the seeds for Klal Yisrael. You go to a unique land that belongs to a unique people. Right. And if there's any shutafut, if there's any shutzkas with anything else, then you can't sow the seeds of Klal Yisrael. That's exactly what was going on when Klal Yisrael was born b'poal. When was Klal Yisrael born b'poal? Leil Yetzias Mitzrayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying to Klal Yisrael, and if there's any, if Klal Yisrael would have stayed in Mitzrayim for 5 minutes longer, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, now's the time for both. If the time for both is get out of there. Don't stay there for a minute. Same as Avraham Avinu. Get out from Beis Avicha. Get out from everywhere. You have to be unique. You have to have left. You mustn't be intrinsically attached to anybody, to any other nation. Is when it came time for your birth, go out. Don't even wait for the matzah to rise. That's what matzah signifies. And I'll go even deeper than that. This is basically just the idea, underlying concept, before we go into in detail. Now to go into in detail the idea of Klal Yisrael, when they left Mitzrayim, there was unique, and that's why the matzah didn't have time to rise. How does this relate to matzah not rising? The Teretz is very poshut. What's the difference between matzah and bread? Bread, you put yeast, you put additional ingredients into bread to make it rise. Matzah is poshut, the formula of dough and water, nothing more. Flour and water, nothing else. No additional ingredients inside. It's made of. That's what matzah signifies. Matzah signifies something that has no shittuf to anything else. It's just its purest ingredients on its own. So when Klal Yisrael were leaving Mitzrayim in the birth, and they were showing they have nothing to do with Mitzrayim, they're not intrinsically linked to anything else, what showed it? That the matzah didn't rise. It remained matzah. It remained in its purest ingredients without having any shittuf to anything else. So that's basically leaving Mitzrayim in haste, dafke in haste, and dafke matzah. Why is it then called Lechem Oini? Why is it called Lechem Oini? The Teretz says, the Maral has a beautiful, a very, very profound concept. The Maral says, but if I look at an Eved, and I look at a Ben Choyer, I look at an Oyer, an Asher, and I look at an Oni, who do you fit together? You'd say, Eved goes with Oni, Kol Mashukon Eved, Kon Rabbi, he's not a wealthy, and Asher goes with Ben Choyer. Do you know what the Maral says? The opposite is true. Why? What is the difference between an Ani and a... No, what's the difference between an Eved and a Ben Chorin? A Ben Chorin is himself, independent. He's not intrinsically linked to anything outside of himself. Right? A Ben Chorin. What is an Eved? Somebody who is intrinsically linked to a power which is external, which is outside of himself. Eved is intrinsically linked not to himself, but to something outside of him. He's not unique. He's not on his own. And a Ben Chorin is somebody who is... on his unique, intrinsically on his own. What's the difference between an Oni and an Asher? Oni only has himself. He doesn't have anything externally outside of himself. Asher Enkin, an Asher, has Nechosim, who sometimes he feels himself linked, intrinsically linked to his Nechosim that are outside. What does the Gemara in Bracha say? Why does it say, Ba'atas Hashem Lekecha, B'chol Levavcha, B'chol Nashecha, U'b'chol Moidecha? Once a person is prepared to give up his life, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of course he's prepared to give up his... his nechostim, his moidech, his money for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does the Gemara answer? No. You have some people who give up their lives for the sake of their money. So you see that sometimes people are intrinsically linked to their money, something out, they're not B'nai Chorin. Oni is B'nai Chorin, he's got nothing outside of himself to be intrinsically linked to. That's B'nai Chorin. An Asher is an Eved, because in the same way as an Eved is intrinsically linked to something external to him, so also the Yosher. So do you understand now why? Do you understand now why by matzah, which is commemorating Klal Yisrael being unique in its uniquest form, not being intrinsically linked to any other nation, when they left Mitzrayim, when they were born as a nation, so that Hadafka has to be commemorated by matzah, which is in its purest form, without being intrinsically linked to anything, and that's why the matzah over here is Dafka called lechem. This is the lechem oini, which means this is the lechem which is intrinsic, unique, that Klal Yisrael left when they left Mitzrayim. And this is the message to everybody at the Seder table, that we have to realize now that Chag HaPesach is something where we became the unique nation, and we haven't got time now to discuss it. Perhaps tomorrow we'll go more into it. But Chag HaPesach, in all the halachas of Chag HaPesach, the Kol Pesach has eaten the Chabura. Everything is to bring Klal Yisrael together to show that they're completely unique. They have no shituf bichlal with any other nations, because that was the importance of the laid of Klal Yisrael, in exactly the same way as Avraham Avinu had to do this, Klal Yisrael had to do this, and that's why that's an even hits. The Memeda that spills over automatically into the next sentence. Kol dichvin yesu yisach, kol dichvin yesu yisach. We don't want any Jews out in the street. We don't want any Jews out by the goyim. We want all the Jews inside. We want all the Jews to be together, because we want all the Jews should commemorate how unique we are, and nobody should be left out in the streets. Kol dichvin yesu yisach. Why? Because we intrinsically link to ourselves unique and not to anybody else. Then on that the question arises, what? The question arises that the Maisa Nari Nigolas, we are Avodim, Hashata Avdi. What does an Eved mean? That he is intrinsically linked to the nations that he lives amongst. Right? Today we are in Golas, which means we are living in countries that are not intrinsically unique in any way. Is that what's the point of it? Is the answer to that, we're going to learn Metzrim and Avodah Mehinu, that the Maisel Bala Godesh soothes you down, calms you down, and says, only Hashata Hocha, today we're Avodim, Lashon Abo B'nei Choyrin. What's a Ben Choyrin? Somebody who's intrinsically linked to Klal Yisrael, and Metzrim is going to be intrinsically linked to itself. Hashata in Eri Chutz Laretz in Golus, but Lashon Abo B'nei Choyrin. So that's how all links in together. Klal Yisrael, Leni Tzis Metzrim, became absolutely unique. In the same way as Avraham Avinu became unique, and therefore every aspect of the Haggadah, every aspect of the Nusach of the Haggadah, and of the Korban Pesach, all the halachas you work for one after the other, all the halachas of Korban Pesach, the Moshe, Etzem, what's the halacha by Korban Pesach? Etzem the Sishbri, mustn't break off a bone. Why mustn't he break off a bone? Because the whole Korban has to be absolutely complete and unique, it's the purest, you mustn't do. Korban Pesach can only be eaten if it's done by Chabura. If you split up from a Chabura, you can't eat the Korban Pesach. Why? Because Klal Yisrael are unique, they all have to eat together. All the halachas that you have, that's why it's so, that's why we're commemorating matzah. Everything is to show that Klal Yisrael is absolutely unique. So Be'emes, this is Be'emes, a very important lesson for guys who are going home Benazmana. Because always myself as well, whenever I go to Chutz Laretz, whenever I go back to England, to Belgium, Europe, whatever it is, the first thing a person always feels when he goes there, the first rega after being in Eretz Yisrael for a long time is, everything seems more ill, more goyish than you. Then you're used to feel. That's the first feeling. After a day or two, you're used to it. That's when you were brought up suddenly. In other words, when you realize it, you come from it strong, when you realize it, is you have to realize that even though we're in Chutzlar, even though we're living in Chutzlar, the Jew still has to keep himself unique. The Jew still has to realize that he is absolutely unique. that he's so much so unique that he mustn't use the vulgar words that Goyim use. He shouldn't want to dress the way Goyim use. He is unique. And what was the schus that Klal Yisrael came out of Mitzrayim? Shalosh Shinues. They didn't change their clothes, they didn't change their names. What does that mean? That means that they kept themselves unique. If you really keep yourselves unique, then you deserve to be a unique nation. And that brought about the Yetzias Mitzrayim, which was the later. If a person appreciates this, I'm not because it's too late to jump onto Manushtana now, but if a person appreciates this, when he goes home, he has to retain his Jewish identity, the way he dresses, and the way he speaks, and the way he acts, and other of it, to be a Kiddush Hashem amongst the going, to be a L'or L'amim, is other of that, just showing Klal, that's just showing the Emes, Klal Yisrael, Allah bless you, and then the going also appreciates. The going also appreciated. And that's bless you. That's the key to success, and that's the key sometimes chas v'shalom to your reader. A person can get fagoyish, as they say in Yiddish, when he goes back to chutzos. You have to imagine, just like the first second you arrive, it seems so different, it seems so alien to you. The life, the goyish life, seeing the goyish. I remember once I was walking just when I came home and I heard certain words, certain swear words that I hadn't heard here in Eretz Yisrael for a long time. It's so alien. I remember being brought up and hearing these names, these words often, and it didn't penetrate as being so alien to me. That's the record. You walk off the plane, the first time it hits you, then you realize that really the Goyim are alien to us, and we have to try and keep ourselves as unique and as little Goyish as possible, and then we'll be Zoich, especially to a Chag Kosher Sameach. So tomorrow, Mitzvah Hashem, I'll try to, because Avodah Meinim is a very long. So yesterday we discussed Halach Ma'anya, today we're discussing Manishtana. Really got a question? Manishtana. So the question is why, what is the Indian, it says in Halach that even a godl, even a grown up, also has to ask the Manishtana. Even if somebody's eating, having to say the night, unfortunately, Achmal and Salon all alone, he also has to say the Manishtana. What's going on over here? Bishlam and kid, understand. There seems to be an element over here that everything should be managed on, everything should be unclear even to an adult. What's going on over here? So, the first question asked the Manishtana is, Shabbat Halayla, all the other Laylas we eat, Chomet, or Matzah Halayla, Zeh, Kuloi.
Matzah,
you all know, is made out of Dagan, made out of Tfur, right? Made out of Dogan.
What's Dogan?
Dogan is wheat, Tfur. Dogan is Tfur, which corresponds to, which refers to wheat, etc. So anyways, the Gemara in Brocha says, Ein Tinoit, it's a very important Gemara. Ein Tinoit Yudea Likris Abba V'Imo Achshi Yitan Tan Dogon. A Tinoit, a kid, doesn't know how to call Abba and Imo until he tastes Dogon. What does that mean? It means Dogon, Dogon has the elements inside it. A kid doesn't understand anything, but he can call out Abba when he eats Dogon. What does that mean? He feels a certain inner closeness, but he doesn't know what it is. If you ask a kid to call her Abba, why are you calling her Abba? What is he to you? Explain how you came about through him. What's your inherent connection to him? He can't tell you about it, but he still calls her Abba. It's a certain age. What I was talking about, where he's mechayev mitzvahs to say Teret Tzibelanu. So the Gemara says that as soon as he eats dogon, so then he can call her Abba. Abba means he calls her Abba as a bechina of a baby. He calls her Abba. He doesn't know anything about it. All he knows is that he feels some connection to this person, and he doesn't understand. Everything else is all hazy. Everything else is all clouded. We mentioned yesterday that Klal Yisrael that came out of Mitzrayim says Yecheskel in Perek Tes Vav that was their birth. So Klal Yisrael came out of Mitzrayim, that was their birth. Klal Yisrael came out of Mitzrayim being their birth is the pshat is Shabashah Aleis all other nights Ono Eichlin Chometz Amatzah. Chometz, we explained yesterday, means the additional ingredients, extras, things you put in. Halayla that Kulei Matzah. Tonight it's Kulei Dogon. Why was it Kulei Dogon tonight? Because when Klal Yisrael came out of Mitzrayim that night, they felt the closest to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They saw Nisim. They felt something. Vayaminu Vashem of Moshe Abdi. They felt something. They called out HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but they were just born. They were just a nation which was just born. They were just a couple of hours. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's children. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, B'ni B'choyri Yisrael. They were just a couple of hours. We were HaKadosh Baruch Hu's firstborn. B'ni B'choyri Yisrael. So therefore, that's another reason why the matzah couldn't rise. It had to remain dogon because the bechina of Klal Yisrael coming out of its rhyme was the bechina of a child just born calling out to their father, Abba. They want to know, why are you my Abba? How are you my Abba? We don't know. All we feel is this closeness to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why Emerson says that Klal Yisrael knew nothing about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Nevertheless, Zochati lach koya ma'ashem, zochati lach chesed nareich, avas kulasayach, lechtich achara, b'midah b'eretz le'zeruah. Klal Yisrael are prepared to enter a midbar, they're prepared to do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants them to do. They don't know anything about HaKadosh Baruch Hu yet. Right? So that's the bechina of calling out Abba, even though you don't. So that's why Dafka, you have to ask the question. Even a god has to ask the Manishai. When you ask a question, you're showing that it's unclear to you. So that Klal Yisrael, the Klal Yisrael were asking Manishai, they're asking this whole episode of tonight. It's so unclear to us. Why? Because we were just born. All we know is that we have an Abba. We don't know anything else. Even a godl is a bechina of a kid just born, because whole Klal Yisrael was born tonight. Even if a person's by himself. Even if he's eating the same night by himself, but we're talking about the Manishtana's ask, because all Klal Yisrael are bechina of a newly born child, right? Therefore, they had matzah. If they had matzah, they had dogon. And having matzah, having dogon, was the bechina of calling out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Abba! Then we do that's all the bechina of Manishtana. Then we continue with Avodah Meyina, which means that now we're going to start explaining exactly how HaKadosh Baruch Hu was by Yitzhayin HaShem Lekinu Mitzrayim and Chazokah. Now we're going to start talking about the idea, the b'china of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out because He loves us, and that's getting closer and closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the first thing when we came up in Mitzrayim was very easy. We felt we had a kesher, couldn't explain it, and therefore Baal HaGadol is now going to explain us what our kesher is to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And let's just quickly continue with Avodah Meyina. So what's the chiddush of it? Avodah Meyina, the fire of Mitzrayim. The ilu lo yitzei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to take us out of Mitzrayim, we'll still be there. Tota Rabba. You are Avodim, if He wants to take you out, you'll still be there. Wow, a brainwave. What's Chazal, what are Chazal telling us today? The ilu lo yitzei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, would still be Mishmor Meyina. This is a repetition. Ilu lo yitzei onu b'neinu b'nei b'neinu Mishmor Meyina the fire of Mitzrayim. What's going on over here? What's the big chiddush? What are we saying? The answer is, this is a tremendous yisod. I think this is one of the biggest yisodos from the whole Agadosh Pesach and the whole Pesach Bichlam. The emphasis is that after HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim, we are never, ever, ever Avodim again. Avodim Yinu Lefarim in Mitzrayim doesn't mean that physically we were working for Parim Mitzrayim. Avodim Yinu Lefarim in Mitzrayim means that we were Be'etzim Avodim. A shape Eved was Chal on the Israel when they were in Mitzrayim. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim, never again, Ilu Loitzei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Avseinu Mitzrayim is would still be Avodah. Now that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim, we are never Avodah. We can go through the worst golus, we can go through the worst torment, the worst torture. We are never, ever, ever, ever Avodah anymore to anybody. You must realize, we'll discuss when we get to the Yochum and Rosh Chodesh, that when Klal Yisrael came out of Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu like enveloped them in an anana covered them from all sides, they entered a different world. The world of Yitzis Mitzrayim was a different world of before Yitzis Mitzrayim. Marnabu said that Parai was Melech Bekippa, was Melech of the whole world. This is Parai's world. And in Parai's world, Klal Yisrael were Avodim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out, HaKadosh Baruch Hu erased Parai's world. We annihilated Parai's world. There was no Parai's world anymore. If there was no Parai's world anymore, in whose world was it? Now it's back to the world of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And now it's came back to the world of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Klal Yisrael are beneath the Chayyar Yisrael, we're Bonim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, never ever are we Be'etzim in Golos. Sometimes physically it can look like we're in Golos, but they can never steal from us anymore what we are Be'etzim. We are Be'etzim B'nei Chayyarim for forevermore. And that's Be'emes illustrated so often. Now, Klal Yisrael through all the ages, it's Yadua, what they once asked in Russia, in Siberia, they once asked the previous Lubavitcher Rebbe Zatzal, they asked him, how is it that he's so stubborn, hunger strikes to get tefillin? How can he be so stubborn to them when he sees that he has no hope, he's stuck in a jail somewhere, nobody to help him? So the Rebbe answered him, the Rebbe says, because I am a Ben Chayrin. I'm not an Eved of yours. If I'm an Eved of yours, I feel subdued, I feel meshubed. I'm not meshubed to you. You can subdue my guf, you can subdue my nefesh. The soul of Klal Yisrael, feeling that we are the Emes B'nei Chayrin, always exists. And wherever I am, I'm always comfortable. And people went through the worst tortures, but they were always very comfortable. Why? Because nobody can be mashabat us to feel a proper Eved. Never are we Avodim again. And that's the idea. And that's the idea of Avodim. That's what Avodim Yin was teaching us. Because we are now, from now on, we are Avodim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is Bonim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Avinu of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a world. So basically, Yitzis Mitzrayim was a Ahava, was a transfer from one world to another world. Therefore, when we came out in the derech of being enveloped in the Kisakot, in the Anana Kovah, there was nothing to do with the outside. It's a completely new identity. So Klal Yisrael became new with a new world as well. That's why Klal Yisrael was taken out of Mitzrayim dafka b'chodesh Nisan. Chodesh Nisan, according to one shita, is the month where the world was created. So Kehila was another creation, was a new Bris Olam. So this new Bris Olam was tailor-made for Klal Yisrael. This is the world that Klal Yisrael belonged into, and the world that Klal Yisrael belonged to. That's the bechina of Avodim Ayinu, the fire of Mitzrayim. were avodim or never avodim again. This is illustrated with immediately thereafter the beginning of the Maaser of Lozor, the walls, and you all know, you've all read all the Agadas, who was the Rav of Bnei Brak then? Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva was then the Rav of Bnei Brak, and they all went to have Seder night with him. Or you Mesabim B'tzias Mitzrayim, Kol Oysa Halayla, Ad Shabol Tamidim, Romo Egea, Kirishma Shul Shachnas. What's this talking about? This is a direct Hemshach from Avodah Mina. What's going on over there? Which tkufa was this? You know which tkufa? This was the tkufa of after Chobna Bais. This was a very dangerous tkufa where they were hiding. Some of Roshim say, why couldn't they see that Egeiz Man Krishma Shul Shachas? Because they were hiding in a cave and there was no windows. They couldn't see the difference between night and day. This is very hard times. These times are called in Chazal, this man of Leilis. Rashi says in Tehillim, on the Pasuk, L'hakit V'boike Chastecha V'nosma V'Leilis, is Rashi said, what is Leilis referring to? Golus, hard times. You look at the beginning of Gemara Pesachim, first daf brings two Pesachim. Ach choshech yishufeinu v'layla ba'or ba'adeini. Whenever Laila, there's a Pesach of Laila, always refers to hard times. Hoy mesaper b'tzias Mitzrayim, kol oysa halayla. They were mesaper b'tzias Mitzrayim, which is they was mesaper what? Cheirus! Yitzias Mitzrayim was Cheirus. In the hardest times, kol oysa halayla, the whole night, throughout those hard times, the whole Mesa Mikdash, and just after. And they were looking for a Bakiva. The Pharisees were looking for a Bakiva, he knew he was going to get executed, he knew he was facing death. Nevertheless, Kol Oysa Halayla, throughout the Golden Age, saying, Mesapi Tzis Mitzrayim, we're really B'nai Choyin, nobody can be Meshavad us anymore. Why was Rabbi Kiva the hero there? Why were they all Mesubid Dachta Kol Oysa Halayla by Rabbi Kiva? Because Rabbi Kiva is the martyr, the Kiva. Rabbi Kiva is the famous martyr of the Asar Arugi Malchus. Whenever anybody asks you, who were the Asar Arugi Malchus, the first one everybody jumps to is Rabbi Kiva. And what does the Gemara say about Rabbi Kiva? When they took him out to be, they combed his flesh with iron combs, terrible tortures he had, but what does it say? He was saying Krishna then, and what was he doing? He was cool, calm, and collected. It's Tamidim, says Rabbeinu, Gemara, how can you do this? What did Akiva say? My whole life I've been waiting for this. When can I be Makai the Mitzvah of the Atas of Shana Kechel Machol Nafshecha? It means Rabbi Akiva was feeling B'nai Chayrin, Gishmak! Why? Because I'm a B'nai Chayrin, says Rabbi Akiva. Why should I be upset? Anybody's doing anything to me? I'm a B'nai Chayrin. Rabbi Akiva is the one who we learn this lesson from. That after Mitzrayim, the worst torture, you can suffer the worst from the goyim, but you're always a ben choyim. And therefore, dafka, they were mesapin kol oysa halayla throughout the worst torments, the worst lailas, the darkest periods. They were mesapin how they've really been in choyim. And they all came to Rabbi Akiva for this, because Rabbi Akiva was the one who was going to be the one who was going to show them that even under the hardest times, he feels, geshmak, he can do a mitzvah. Doesn't feel shy Zman Krishma. No, he feels he's doing it with a chori, he's doing it with a warmth and with an aval. And that's a direct maisa that we say from Avodah Meir. It's just illustrating that once HaKadosh Baruch Hu has taken us out of Mitzrayim, we are never, never anymore Avodim. There's no better illustration to this than Saprin Cheiros Kol Oysa HaLayla. Fini Cheiros, as dark as the Tkufa period was, and especially Rabbi Akiva, because he was one who showed this as he's been taken out to be killed, how what a feeling of B'nai Choyer. It's late, he really felt it. Okay. So yesterday, you know what? Haredi kibem shayim sum of an Ebrak for Omru. Well, you must stop and see us with Tram, call us a Laila, Achabo, Mideva Omru, Rabbi Seino, a Gearsman, Krishna Shulchachas. So it's a very interesting aspect of it. Why dafka the Talmidim who came to remind them, Krishna Shul Shachris, why didn't they realize, why didn't they notice, why dafka the Talmidim? But the pshat is the following. It's interesting to note that Maseches Brachos, which all of you, many of you, most of you, hopefully all of you, have begun on your long journey all the way to finish Shishashir Mishnah, you sure learned through the first Mishnah in Brachos. The first Mishnah in Brachos, the first halacha in Brachos, which is the first halacha in Torah Shebal Peh, discusses what? Discusses Shema. Why is Shema the first halacha discussed in Torah Shebal Peh? The pshat is the following. What's the difference between Torah Shebal and Torah Shebal Peh? Torah Shebal, you have it there in front of you. You don't necessarily need to be mekabel from somebody in Torah Shebal Peh. You open the Chumash, of course, to understand the depth and this, to delve into it. But the essence of Torah Shebal Peh is the text in front of you. Torah Shebal Peh means it's handed over from from one generation, from Rav to Talmud, from Rav to Talmud throughout the generations. It's Torah Shebal Peh. So in order to be mekabel Torah Shebal Peh, a person has to be to make himself into a mekabel. Right. A mekabel. Talmud has to make himself into a mekabel. He has to make himself into a kli kibble from his Rav. What is the most, you'd call it extravagant, what is the greatest kabbalah that we have today? Being mekabel. What are we mekabel? Kabbalah Olam Achas Shemayim, give ourselves up for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If a person wants to be able to be Mekabel Torah from his Rav, he has to make himself into a Kli Kibbul. A person that makes himself into a proper Kli Kibbul, that's what's called Kabbalah Olam Achas Shemayim. When you're Mekabel in yourself Olam Achas Shemayim, then you can be Mekabel the Torah from your Rav. What's my Raya? From another Mishnah Brachos. What does the Mishnah Brachos say? Orim Shulman Koch, Lo Mo Kod Mo Parsha Shema, Le Parsha Vahoyim Shemoya. Familiar with that Mishnah? Kadesh she kabel olav, v'chaka he kabel olav. Oh, mitzvah. What is that? Which means l'toyer, right? Kima mitzvah. What does that show you? First, you have to make yourself into a kli kibbul. You have to make yourself into a kli kibbul of malchus shamayim, and then you can be a kabel l'toyer. That's why the first halacha, Torah Shabbal Peh, which the whole idea of Torah Shabbal Peh is when you have to begin becoming a mekabel. Because the Torah Shabbat has to be a Mekabel, the Torah Shabbat has to be a Mekabel, because it's not enough to tell me. The first halach in becoming a Mekabel is Kriyas Shema. That's exactly what's going on over here. These Tanoim over here, right? Osman Azari and Makiva, they were living over here, like we said yesterday, this half time, where there was a Sakona Chas Hashem for Torah to be forgotten, and Makiva had lost all his students. So there was a Sakona, there was not many Gedolim around. And here, Shatis, they were Mesatim, Yitzias Mitzrayim, Kolois HaLaila, Ab Shabbat Talmidim. After the Talmidim came to remind them that what? He gives man Krishna. It's after the Talmidim were reminding them about Krishna, because the Talmidim are telling them that you want to what? You want to be Masafi Vitzis Mitzrayim, Kulay Salayna. What happened to Klal Yisrael? What were they Mekabel upon themselves when they left Mitzrayim? Well, Shemayim, what did they say? Well, how does the Shir Sayyam finish off Hashem? You want to explain them what? The Mekabel of themselves, Melch Shemayim. They realized that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was taking them out of Mitzrayim in order that they should become avodim to Hashem. It's the makabel on themselves that they are avodim to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? Never you being masafei b'yitzias Mitzrayim kol Yisrael lo'ayin, which means you're discussing how Klal Yisrael became avodim to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how the makabel avodim themselves lo'ayin to Shemayim or leaving Mitzrayim. After the Talmidim came to remind us that just by relating how we became a Vodim, Leil Yitzis Mitzrayim. You taught us Torah Shabbal Peh, and Torah Shabbal Peh begins that the proper Kabbalah on Mach HaShemayim is to say Kriyat Shema. That's why it's after the meeting came to remind them about Krishna. Why weren't they reading Krishna? Because they were Mesafet Yitzis Mitzrayim. What was Yitzis Mitzrayim? Kabbalah on Mach HaShemayim. After the meeting reminded them, we will recover from you Torah Shabbal Peh. Torah Shabbal Peh begins with a proper Kabbalah, you need a proper Kabbalah of Abolos Olamach HaShemayim. After that comes Omar Rebbe Loz Ben Azaria, Hareni Kevin Shivim Shono, Ulo Zachisi Shita Omar Bitzias Mitzrayim Baleilois, Ad Shador Shobahem Ben Ad Shador Shob Ben Zoymo, Shnema, Lamantiskas Yem Tzeis Chomet Mitzrayim, Kol Yemei Aleilos, Yemei Hayomer, Yemei Chayecha Yomer, Kol Yemei Chayecha Leilois. I'm like 70 years old, and I still don't recall that you must be a Tzitzis Mitzrayim Baleilos. So, first question is a very obvious question, right? You all know when you're in high school. What does it mean, or perhaps in elementary school? What does it mean when you say Rav Lozer Nazaria was Kevet Shim Shana? That one night he went to bed, and the next morning he woke up with his long white beard. So, he wasn't Shim Shana, he was 18. So what's he saying? I'm Kevin Shim Shana, and I still, especially if a guy's mom is 70, so you can say that. I've been through my whole life already, and I still haven't heard such a drosha. He wasn't 70, he's only Kevin Shim Shana. So what game is he playing over here? He's 18 years old, so I'm as if I'm 70, and I still haven't been. You're not, you're 18. So there's no big deal that you haven't heard this drosha yet, because you're only 18. And the second question is, what's the pshat that he didn't hear it? Ad Shadosh Ben Zoyma, why was it Dafka? It seems like such a big chiddush. How is it that Dafka Ben Zoyma was Mechadish, this chiddush that Amman Tiskas Yom Tzeis Chemes and Kolim? What is this big chiddush of the Mazkir, making a Zechira of Yitzis Mitzrayim? I don't know whether we're going to get through the answer to this tonight. I'll try to speak very fast, but it's 9:25, really need we have to finish. The Teretz is the following. Here we're talking about Zechira of Yitzis Mitzrayim. When you talk about a Zechira, Zochar, remembering, means you're going back to the Shoyrish. You're going back to the Shoyrish. Two rayas. What's Rosh Hashanah called? Yom Zikah. Yom Zikon. Yom Zichron Shrua. What's the pshat? Why is Rosh Hashanah called Yom
Zichron?
Because what happens to Rosh Hashanah? HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides the world was created then. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we go back to the Sheresh of Bria, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to decide whether to recreate the world, or to give the world. In other words, Rosh Hashanah is the day where we go back to the Sheresh, right to the beginning of the beginning. What else is there in Mitzvah Seira? Zochar is Yom HaShabbos Le Kadshayik. What's Shabbos? We go back to the Sheresh of Ma'aseh Bereishis. What's Shabbos? Emunah in Ma'aseh Bereishis, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. That's Shabbos. During the week, a person is busy what he's doing. On Shabbos, a person gets to back to the Sheresh of Zeicher LeMaaseh. What do we say on Shabbos? Zeicher LeMaaseh Bereishis. So in other words, whenever you see that, whenever there's zikon of something, it means going back to the source. Going back all the way to the Sheresh, going back to the source. What Klal Yisrael's source? We discussed, and this follows on from the earlier problem we've learned in Haggadah Shul Pesach. What was Klal Yisrael? Where was Klal Yisrael born? What's Klal Yisrael's source? That was the podcast. When were we born? When did we come to Avir HaOlam? As a pshat is, that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Cheres, and that's when we were born. So in other words, going back to the Sheresh, Zechiras Yitzis Mitzrayim means going back to our Sheresh, because Yitzis Mitzrayim is basically our Sheresh. Going back to the Sheresh, going back to the Zman, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim, and as we'll learn later, it's also the Zman of Bris Olam, that's next, Mitzvah Shabbat, but Yochan Rosh Chodesh, I hope you get there, Mitzvah Shabbat. But basically, the Yitzis Mitzrayim was simultaneously, there was another Bris Olam, I'll explain you then, when we get there. But the Sheresh of all Shosh Mo'im, what you have to remember is our Sheresh, which is leaving Mitzrayim. That's a pshat of it. Yitzis Mitzrayim Baleilos is, as we said before, he said yesterday that Baleilos means going through hard times, going through Zman of the Golos. It's a big chiddush to say that you're Mechuyev to be Zechiras Yitzis Mitzrayim Baleilos. Why? It's very difficult to remember Cheiros, to feel Cheiros, as we said, remembering, going back to our Sheresh, feeling that Kodesh Baruch Hu has taken us out now, Mitzrayim, and we're Cheiros, when times are very difficult. It's very difficult to get back to the Sheresh. When we see Yad Hashem, when we see Hashkochas Hashem, when we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroying the Roman Empire, so then we can go back to our Sheresh and see how HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroyed Mitzrayim as well. When there's a Gilui Hashkocha in the world, is then one can go back to our Sheresh, then one can remember how HaKadosh Baruch Hu talks about Mitzrayim. But when you see the other way around, when you see the Goyim on top of us, and we're subdued, and we're the ones who are being tortured and beaten by the Goyim, then it's very difficult to remember Yitzis Mitzrayim, Zechira, going back to our Sheresh, which my Sheresh is just the opposite. Here we're forlorn and forsaken, and there we were the big boys, we annihilated Mitzrayim. It's very difficult at Leilos to make a mitzvah of Mitzrayim, to remember that there's a Sheresh to go back to. Amen. That's why it's a big fish. That's what Rosh Nazari is saying. Hareni Kaben Shem Shoma. Kaben Shem Shoma means, we say to Hillel, Yemeshne Seinu Shem Shoma. A person's life is Shem Shoma. What does it mean, a person's life? What happens after Shem Shoma? A person goes back to his Sheresh, right? His Neshoma goes back to his Sheresh. Chazal say, why is it 70 years? 70 years, the seventh day of the week, which is Shabbos, corresponds to the 70 years. Everything of seven is going back to the Sheresh. What happens in Shemitah? The Shavs of Oret, Shabbos La, Shem, well, goes back to Shem is always going back to the Sheresh. It made a thing, so that's why a person, after 70 years, that's why his lifespan, Ilu, even though everybody had Meir Behesrim. But the lifespan is a bechina of Shem Shana, because after the lifespan, the Shema goes back to its Sheresh. Rosh Nazar is saying, Hareni Kibben Shem Shana, which means that I am somebody who's worked on and is mitbonen to bechina where I am Kibben Shem Shana, which means going back to the Sheresh. In other words, I can go back to the Sheresh. I know how to do it. I know a person is supposed to make a proper Zechira to go back to the Sheresh. But nevertheless, to be strong enough and to go back to such a Sheresh when things are so bad, and to remember how things were so good, to go back to Lady Tis Mitzrayim when Klal Yisrael were on top and Pari, who's Melech of the whole world, was completely annihilated. Out Kedei Kach, I'm not Zoicha, to be Mechayev us by Leilois to go back to our Sheresh. And remember, Klal Yisrael in Miyadeis Yitzis Mitzrayim. Even though I am Kibben Shem Shon, even though I am this Bechina, this Nekuda of being able to go back to the Sheresh, but to be M'chai, we believe us in such bad times to go back to the Sheresh and act out Cheres and really believe we are Cheres, that I couldn't do. Ad Shavor Ben Zoyma. Do you know why is Ben Zoyma called Ben Zoyma? He hasn't got a name. He's called the son of his father. His father's name was Zoyma. Ben Zoyma is the son of Zoyma. What does it mean, the son of Ben Zoyma? Why didn't he have a name? The Teretz says that Ben Zoyma was somebody who was the summit, the peak. He reached the shleimus of going back to the Shoyrish. And therefore he was called after his Shoyrish father. A father is the Shoyrish, right? Father means, why is Kabbalah Savicha so important? Why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu say that if you mechabe your parents, it's as if you are mechabeid Hashem, right? More Kedushin Choftez. Kabbalah Hashem Huncha. Because if you mechabe the parents, means you mechabe your Shoyrish. If you mechabe your Shoyrish, automatically you're also mechabeid Hashem, who is the Shoyrish. Therefore, Ben Zoyma could be the Ben Zoyma school. Ben Zoyma, because he reached the Madrega where he was completely cold, kuloi, attached, clinging to the Shoyrish. It may not only Ben Zoyma could be somebody who could come along and say that the Mantisko says to me, the Rabbi says Alevis, Koli Mechayech, the Rabbi says Alevis, that even the Levis in bad times, there's a mitzvah of Schira. What's the mitzvah of Schira? Going back to the Shoyrish. That's Yitzis Mitzrayim, going back to the Shoyrish. Okay. So first of all, let's have a quick thing on Baruch Hamok and Baruch Hu. Excellent. Baruch Shoshan Torah Lam Yisrael. Baruch Hu Keneged Arba Bonim Dibre Torah. So why over here, when we talk about Keneged Arba Bonim Dibre Torah, do you term HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name as being Mokri? Right? Baruch Hamok and Baruch Hu. But the parents says, this is exactly what we discussed in the beginning, that the Maral says the following lashon. Why do you find sometimes that Kodesh Baruch Hu is called Mokoy? Because there's Maral, Kodesh Baruch Hu is Klal Hakoel Ve'ein Dova Ach Ve'ein Dova Yotze Mimen. Which means there's no such thing as being outside of Kodesh Baruch Hu. Kodesh Baruch Hu, everything is within the realms. Kodesh Baruch Hu is Mokoy Meshul Oilom Meloy Chol Haaretz Kavoyde. Everything is inside the Rishus of Kodesh Baruch Hu. Therefore Kodesh Baruch Hu is Mokoy Meshul Oilom, as it's called. Agav, by the way, I'm saying this agav, that when the Baruch Shreva Zatzal was sitting shiva for his mother, I think it was for his mother, for his wife, one of the two, so the Novominska Rebbe from America came and went to pay a shiva visit to him. And he asked the Rebbe, why do you wish when a person, when you go to console a person, do you wish Amokim also, so you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, you term as Amokim Menachem Eskim, why do you use HaKadosh Baruch Hu Amokim Menachem? So the Rebbe answered, and spoke a moment, the Rebbe says, because the Maisa, Molei Cholaretz Kavoyde. So in other words, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is covered is everywhere, when a person is there in the life, because a person is Toifes Dalad Amos, right? Every person is Toifes Dalad Amos. If the person doesn't make himself into a Merkava for the Shechinah, every person Ke'ilu is taking away the Dalad Amos that really should be full of what? HaKadosh Baruch Hu Beloi Cholaretz Kavoyde. Maybe when that person disappears, when that person dies, and you bury him, so what happens to that Dalad Amos? Automatically it's filled again with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore that's why you wish a person a mokim yinachem eschem, because the mokim HaKadosh Baruch Hu is filled in the Dalad Amos that person was toifes. Who? Mamish a second? Yeah, because he's going to miss it. You say a mokim yinachem eschem, right? Why do you say a mokim? Because when a person is alive, he's toifes Dalad Amos. So we know HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Melech Cholaretz Kavoyde, but an Adam is toifes his own Dalad Amos. So Ke'ilu is like taking away the Dalad Amos from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because every place where there is a vacuum is automatically filled with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's covered. The person being there is taking away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
The person is alive, he
holds. So he's toifes Dalad Amos of himself. The Meila, therefore that's why when a person disappears, automatically that Dalad Amos is now full again of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's covered. And that's the Pshat, Hamokim Nasanir. But I call upon him, that's what's Nagia to hear. What's Nagia to hear is that's why we say Ke'ilu by HaKadosh Pesach, that's what we say by HaKadosh Pesach, Baruch Hamok and Baruch Hu. Because as we discussed already, that when Klal Yisrael came out of Mitzrayim, the pshat is that they came out into HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world. It was a new world. It wasn't the world of Pari. The world of Pari was called Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim is Miloshen Mitzar. It's narrow. There's not much room, right? Now is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world is other Rabbah. Everything is full. Meloi Cholaretz Kavoidai. Right, the Merchav Ka. It's all white. So that's why now by Yitzis Mitzrayim, especially over here, when we're talking about the Arba Bonim Divrei Torah, which I'll explain in a minute, we term HaKadosh Baruch Hu as being Baruch HaMokim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu encompasses everything. Mekoy Mishalayim means that he encompasses everything. And therefore the Torah, which comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and
Kodesh Baruch Hu says that Anoy Ano Nafshi Yehovis Kesavis Anoy Chi Hashem Nekech Anoy Chi Yisrosh Hatevis Ano says the Medrash Rabba Nafshi Kesavis Yehovis Kesavis Kodesh Baruch Hu put himself into the Torah. The Torah is Etzem Allah Kodesh Baruch Hu and made it. The Torah is also all encompassing, and the emes is that everything which is in this Bria has a Makor in the Torah. Says the Gemara Hafechba the Kulabah. You have to look for everything. Everything has a Makor in the Torah. There's nothing that happens in this world, there's nothing that grows in this world, there's nobody in this world, no creature in this world that doesn't have a Makor in the Torah. When you talk about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when you talk about Elikus, you're talking about something which is all encompassing everything and nothing goes outside it. And mainly therefore, connected Arba Bonim to Torah, whatever type of person, whatever type of Bria, whatever type it is, it's all Nichman and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mainly the Torah is corresponding also to the Chacham and also to a Rosh and also to a Tam and also Shtein Nishon, to all extremes. There's nothing which is outside of the Torah. The Torah is all encompassing every type of person, every type of Bria, and every type of everything. So Dafka, when we're talking about the Arba Bonim Dibri Torah, do we term HaKadosh Baruch Hu as being HaKadosh Baruch Hu as being Baruch HaMok? What's the difference between, and why? I'm going to give you two vort lechem chacham rosh. One is very simple, and one we're going to go into the idea more ba'omek. What's pshat in the chacham, right? What's pshat in the chacham and what's pshat in the rosh? You know, and now the first pshat is going to be the simple pshat. You know that the chura, the people ask that the chura, the opposite of a rosh, should be a tzaddik. So why doesn't it say tzaddik rosh? Why does it say chacham and rosh? The very pshat answer is because the emphasis is not true. The opposite, why I should say tzaddik, the opposite of a rosh is what? A tzaddik, a righteous person. A chacham is a wise, should be either chacham tipesh, right? Or a tzaddik or rosh, why a chacham rosh? But the answer is, because it's not true. Every person, if it would have said, if the Baal HaGadol would have said tzaddik rosh, then I would have said, but tzaddik, you're talking about yechidei sekula, you're talking about a man as a tzaddik, you're looking up to him, it's not talking about the hamon ham. The emesis is, the Hamonam, about everybody. You could say there is a tzaddikim, and this guy's a tzaddik, this guy's higher than us. Every person in this world, every Jew in this world, I mean, has to be a tzaddik. Why? Because every Jew has chokhmah. And if every Jew has chokhmah, every Jew has to be a tzaddik. What do I mean? The Gemara says, let me see if you know this Gemara. Ein adam oyver avera, ele imkein nichnas by ruach shtus. So the Gemara says, "Ein adam oiva avera ela imkin benichnas beruach shlus." To do an avera, a person has to be a shaita. Why? Because if a person uses his chachma, every Jew has chachma, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if a person uses his chachma, his boininess, then how can he do a chet? And he realizes how shafel, how low he is, and how HaKadosh Baruch Hu's melech chola, how powerful he is. How dare he rebel against the Almighty, the All-Powerful, if he's not even an ant in things to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So just like a person. Imagine by the Tsar of Russia, right? A person has to be very foolish to walk up to the Tsar of Russia and give him a punch in the face. Why? Because who are you? And you're rebelling against the Tsar of Russia, so who are them? A person's mitbonen, his other of him.
But a person's a very
sacrifice of life. It's a lack of trust.
If you believe completely.
Yeah, it depends what the lack of him. In other words, the lack of imun is also a shtus. What is the lack of imun? I believe in atheism, right? It's also a shtus. Why? All boils down to shtus, because this famous measure of Rabbi Akiva, when it's Rabbi Akiva, the world, the Big Bang, whatever you want to call it, or atheism, whatever it is. But you've said the mashal is that you showed them a picture, you've all heard of the mashal. Yeah. He said you see this picture, and then the cat spilt all the paint, and this green paint made the tree, and the blue paint made the sky, and it all spilt because the cat spilt it all. So, in other words, so there's also an element of introducing to themselves the chokhmah. Aristotle said at the end of his life, Badai, there's a boy rape. Badai, there has to be some boy rape. Although he wrote books and books and books to prove that it's not true, at the end of his life, and not only the end of his life, he got smarter. He always knew it. But for whatever he wanted it to do, he didn't want to believe that there's somebody checking over him, or somebody who's mashgiach over him, because Lamatims, he was machnes batz
meruash. No, they say just opposite. They say people that believe in God are afraid because they're afraid to conceive, to admit that there's no God, because then they'd be afraid because they're all alone in the world.
Yeah. No, that's an interesting. People usually say they don't have to be meshubah to anybody. People
say that religion is opium for the masses.
How come? He's buried next door where I live in England.
How
works? Ruach Shtus. Because as soon as a person uses any hitbananut, he can't do an avera. The person realizes that doing an avera is like sticking your hand in a fire. Only a shaita sticks his hand in a fire, right? So meila. So therefore, that's why the Bala God is saying the following: a chacham is the opposite of a rosha, because a rosha is a tipish. And every Jew is a chacham. Every Jew has this chachmah. He has to be mitzvaneh. The seichel ki has this. Think to be mitzvanen in Hakadosh Baruch Hu to Hakadosh Baruch Hu to see that he shouldn't dare do an avera. Maybe therefore that's why the opposite of a chacham is a rasha, and the chacham is every single Jew has this chachmah. So every single Jew has to be a tzaddik. No Jew has an excuse not to be a tzaddik, because every Jew has the koach to be mitzvanen in Hakadosh Baruch Hu. And if he doesn't, and if he's not mitzvanen in Hakadosh Baruch Hu, then he becomes a rasha. Again. No, not that every Jew is a tzaddik. Every Jew is a chacham, and therefore he's machuyev to be a tzaddik.
Right.
That's not looking what the chacham and rosh are saying. I've had to phone up because this is.
So rosh is a tibush? It doesn't make sense.
But the rosh
there are always shine that.
They're tibush. You have people. Gemara says Yudea Rishoyim Shadakam Lamisa. The Rishoyim know that the Derech is Misa. They just can't keep themselves back for the Taiva. Titus was a Goyim. I'm talking about a Jew over here. They know that they're going to have to give them a Chesh, but they're just a Taiva.
Yeah, yeah.
Just a Taiva is too great. Is that a Tipshus or isn't it a Tipshus?
Yeah.
Is it smart to do an Avera with a Hanoi is 2 seconds and the suffering is a million years? Lost it in Gehenna? In other words, every person knows. Every Avera isn't a Tipshus. Anyways, that's all very superfluous. But now I want to go into the Rochachim Rosh. Much more depth, and then we have to go into what the Chacham says. Says the Baal Gadol, Chacham Moho Eimeh, Moho Eidos, Vachukim, Vamishpatim, Asher Tzibur Hashem Elokeinu Eschem, Vaaf Ata Emor Eloi Kehilchas HaPesach, Eim Aftir Nach HaPesach. What's next? Don't remember. If you're asleep, by the time your father gets to Chacham, to Chacham, you fall asleep already. Eim Aftir Nach HaPesach Afi. Oh, mazel tov. So the kids said, what is the chacham ask? Ma'a eidus v'achukim v'mishpotim asher tziv v'ashem nakeinu esu. What are the eidus, chukim v'mishpotim? What are we all saying? Va'af ata emor lo'i kehilchas ha va'af ata emor lo'i kehilchas ha-pesach. You have to answer him, teach him hilchas pesach. Which one of the hilchas pesach do you teach him? Ein maktir nach ha-pesach ha-fikoyim.
Who? Teach
you. The chacham. So you should have a look at it inside in Hagadosh Shul Pesach. So anyways, so obviously what's going on over here? What's the Chacham asking? Why are we answering Hilchas HaPesach? What's Hilchas HaPesach? I'm going to do the question he's asking. And what about the din of Eim Afiyu Nach HaPesach HaFikoyman? Why after what's the din of, what is the din of Eim Afiyu Nach HaPesach HaFikoyman? After the HaFikoyman you mustn't eat anymore, right? After the HaFikoyman you mustn't eat anymore. When they had the Korban Pesach, they weren't allowed to eat anymore after the Korban Pesach, right? So how does this answer the Rosh's question? The Rosh is asking a glorious question. What's Eidus Chukim and Mishpatim? You're answering the Hilchos Pesach. What's that got to do with Eidus Chukim and Mishpatim? And what's it got to do with Ein Maftir and Acha Pesach Afikoyim? And that's all to the Chacham. So how is he answering the question? What's the Chacham asking? Why are we answering him? The Chur, the answer has got nothing to do with the question. And within Hilchos Pesach, why dafka the so many halachos of Pesach? Why dafka the din of Ein Maftir and Acha Pesach Afikoyim? That
Chacham. What's the Rosh asking?
Who?
Is
Rosh
asking?
I haven't come to Rosh yet. Talk about the Chacham now. All this is Chacham. So anyhow, now before we answer the Chacham, let's go to the Rosh, because you're going to see the Chacham and Rosh are both opposites. So basically, it's all one Yisod. Rosh, what is this Avoida for? So what do we answer the Rosh? One of these phrases you should remember. You say, Babu, Zeos Hashem li, li v'loilod, Elu ha-yashav, Negel, Ba'af ato ha-ke'es, Nok his,
Tita.
No, Mazel Tov. Not the Tita. The Emma Lloyd of Ozea, the Shavuot Nesot. So, we're answering that, knock his teeth out, and tell him that the Haggadah says, or the Fisha Hoitzi Atzmoy, the Lashon is by Rosha, or the Fisha Hoitzi Atzmoy min ha cloud, Kofa be'ikar, and therefore you have to tell him that if he would have been in Mitzrayim, he wouldn't have been redeemed. That's the Rosha. So he says, Mahavoidah says, Lachem, says the Baal HaGadol, the Fisha Hoitzi Atzmo in a cloud, because he's taking himself out of the cloud, he's a Koifa Be'ikah, knock his teeth out and say he wouldn't have been taken out of this, right? First of all, what's going on over here? What's the question of the Rosh? What's this Avodah? What is he talking about? What exactly is he mocking over here? And also, what we answer him? We answer him that because he was moitzi after him in a klal, because he's moitzi in a klal, what does it mean he's moitzi in a klal? Do you know why he's a pleasure baker? Because he's laughing in a mitzvah. He's saying, "Ma, what's this all? What's this all for? What's his ritual? What's his ritual for?" So in other words, he's not in the mitzvahs. He's a koyfer. What is the fisha hoytzi atzma min haklal? Who's talking about a klal over here? Fisha hoytzi atz because he's taking him out min haklal. Kofa beikar. Why is he a koyfer beikar? Because he's hoytzi atzma min haklal. And also, obviously, why do we knock his teeth out? Punch his nose in, right? And knock his eyes out. Well, why do we knock his teeth out? What's the oynish of knocking his teeth out? So these are the kids of all the kashas of Chacham and all the kashas of Rosha. And I want you later, after you've heard this from me, to go and get an Haggadah Shel Pesach and see that Haggadah Shel Pesach inside, and then go through the Vatar itself. Because now it's all abstract to you, because you don't know you haven't seen it inside. But basically, so you've got it written down. These are the kashas for the Chacham and the Rosha. But the answer to this question is one answer, and for this answer, we have to go back a minute. You have to go back for a minute and delve into a bit of a sugya, a bit of a parasha in Chassidus. Chassidus teaches us what's the difference between. It was written in the Sifrei in the Sfarim HaKadoshim. What is the difference between Chochma, Bina, and Das? So it's Yadua. It's known that when, let's say, the Moshe, to make it easy for you, when you learn a Gemara 10 times and you can't pick it up, and the 11th time you learn it, it clicks. Have you ever had that? Sometimes the pshat clicks. I'm sure you've all had it more than once. So it's a pshat click. When the pshat clicks, that regga that it clicks, can you explain it to anybody yet? No. You say, "Ah, I have pshat," and then ask you to explain it, you'll say, one second, let me just see what I know. And then you won't be able to explain it. First there's a click, and then you explain it. That's in chassid called chokhma and called bina. Chokhma is always the shayrish. Chokhma is the shayrish, the root. Yeah, chokhma is the root, the first click of it. But you can't translate it yet, you can't explain it yet, you can't interpret it. You feel that you have it. It's like a spark. Chokhma is a spark, you have it. Bina is dressing it up, in other words, being able to explain it, going over it again in your head, being able to explain it. That's the chilut of chokhma. So, Meira, what is a chokhma? When you're talking about a chokhma, you're talking about somebody who is going back to the shayrish. Chokhmah is the shayrish. Chokhmah is something the original before the spark. Mamish the before nigla, before it becomes revealed to you, before you can explain it. Mashal Lamar Domadayma also to a shayrish, a root of a tree. You ever, yeah?
I always looked at Chokhmah as like knowing something, he is knowing it completely. It does to be able to see how it relates to everything else, for instance, the source.
What's the difference between Chokhmah and Bina then?
What do you mean
knowing it?
You know something. Bina's knowing like all the aspects, all the depth,
we understand, like, being able to deduce things. You mean the Chokhmah is more on the surface level?
So, yeah. Bina, you know it, but
you know,
like, again,
deduce,
you know it so well, you can deduce
this. That's the idea. Oh, so it's Rashi says, Bina is something where it's Mevin Dova Mitev Dova, where you didn't learn it, you're just taking it from somewhere else. Maybe don't read that though, which means sometimes you can learn something and sometimes you didn't see it inside because you learned it from more elsewhere, you derived it from the Gemara elsewhere. Right, that's how Rashi explains. But Abdi Kabbalah, I mean it's definitely related, not going to now, it's related, but Abdi Kabbalah, the Chokhmah, and being a Chokhmah comes from the word Kwach, Ma. Ma, it means, Ma means like nothing, right? What did Rashi Rabbeinu say? But Nachnu Ma, what are we? Ma means, what is it? Ma, Mazeh, what is it? So the Kwach of Ma, which means the Kwach of spark, it's not tangible yet, it's ma, it's still nothing, it's still very, very early stages. Chokhmah is still a very early stage. And Bina is a stage where you've already dressed it up, where you can really understand it much better. I mean, it's basically to say, it's whatever, I'm not going to, so in depth. But that's not called Banim. So Chokhmah is the Shoyrish. It's clicked, right? It's the very Shoyrish, but you have to yet now take, internalize it. That's the way those look. Well, Bina makes it kilo internal, you internalize it. And Chokhmah is when it clicks. Let's look at a mashal of a shayrish, a root of a tree. When you plant a seed, so the seed is going to root to make a tree, right? What's going to grow from the seed? A bark, a branch, a leaf, an apple, a peel, a pit in the apple, the stalk of the apple. All that's coming from what?
Seed.
One little seed. The shayrish of something, shayrish means the roots of something, is all encompassing, has everything in it. you don't plant one seed for the bark and one seed for the apple and one seed for the leaf and one seed for the bunch. You plant one little seed, and that seed is all encompassing everything. That little seed has within it the koach to grow a tree, to grow a branch, to grow a leaf, to grow everything. Right? That's the koach. Always when you go back to the shoresh is all encompassing. And that's how he's doing everything. So the shoresh is hidden, the shoresh is difficult to get to. What you see is, all you see is the hitchalkut. All you see is, when you look, you see a tree, you see a branch, you see everything differently. Everything's different. This is what an apple looks like, this is what a tree looks like, this is what a leaf looks like, this is what a branch looks like. It's all the hitchalkut. It's all divided already. It all looks different. But in the shoresh, it's all the same. It's all one shoresh. It's all called hiskalus. It's all called its one. The further back, the further you go back to the shoresh, the more becomes a oneness. The further away you go from the shoresh, is it more becomes pieces, bits and pieces, divisions. Right? You got what I'm saying? That's why always the closer a person is to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is the more his Avodas Hashem is more all encompassing. The further away from HaKadosh, the further away a person is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the more it's divided up. In other words, you get some people who are with God for Shacharis, Chais for Maariv, and they're in a half an hour, they have a Shir here, Kol HaKavod, but they're not all encompassing with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They don't feed themselves the whole day with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The closer a person is to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he feels that everything he does with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? So you do it at the different Chaim, that Tzanzerov once stuck his hand into a fire because he moved his hand once without being the yachid, a certain yichud of the Shem HaMaya. Without being the yachid, something for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Which means every time he moved a finger, and every time he moved his body, every time he did anything, he was miyachid of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The closer a person is to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the more everything is all encompassing. It's not chopped up with dafiyemi shehei and then something else there, and you know, shaking lulav in the morning and then making hamoiti in the sukkah in the afternoon. Everything is all encompassing. The closer you get to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because the closer you get to the shoresh, the more all encompassing it is. The further away you get from the shoresh, is the more it's all. Another moshul to this is in Shemayim, Eish and Mayim is together, as we mentioned, right? What does the word Shemayim come from? Eish Mayim, right? It comes from Shemayim, comes from Eish Mayim. Because in Shemayim, it's close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all the opposites, all united, it's all one bechina. The further away you get, right, the Zohar HaKadosh calls this world the Olam HaPrut, it's Olam HaPirus, because here there's all hafakha, things can't go together, it's all divided. Kids, that's the Yisod. The Shoresh is always all encompassing. Closer to the Shoresh, more Biklolos. Further away from the Shoresh, more Bifrotos. And Bela, this Chacham over here is a Chacham. Chacham, we said, is the Shoresh, right? Chacham is the Shoresh. So what is the Chacham asking? Chacham is not asking for anything specific. I'm saying, I want to know the underlying element that combines. I want to go back to the Shoresh to see how Eidus, Chokim, and Mishpatim are all one. The Chura, Chokim, and Mishpatim are two opposites. You do understand, you don't understand, right? Eidus is a mixture. You know what Eidus is. Eidus is summoning where? What is a Mishpat? A Mishpat is, no, don't kill. So that's a Mishpat. Without the Torah commanding, I'd have understood. What's a Chok? Kill I. I still don't understand, even after the Torah commanded. Eidus is something where? I wouldn't have understood without the Torah telling me. Without the Torah telling me, I didn't understand. Let's say sukkah. Sitting in sukkah. So the Torah didn't explain me. I want to know why I'm sitting in sukkah. But now the Torah tells me because it's commemorating the Anan HaKovah. That's called Eidus. It's mitzvah Eidus. So all these are various types of different mitzvahs. What does the Chacham ask? I'm not asking on specifics because the Chacham is Shoresh. In the Shoresh, it's all one. Chacham is asking what's the underlying element? What's the cloud behind Eidus, Chokim, and Mishpatim? I'm not asking on Zois. I'm not asking on anything specific. I'm not pointing to a specific mitzvah. I'm pointing to the idea of the klalus. I want to know the klal behind everything. I want to know what's lying behind everything. And when you see everything behind something, you see everything from the depth of it, then you look at it, you see how it's all interconnected, it's all united, it's all one klal. That's why the Chochem is asking, Moha Eidus v'chokim v'mishpatim v'shitzir Hashem l'kecha. I'm not asking you of this chok, of this mishpat. I'm asking of everything. And maybe that's why, and that's Chochem, that's the Chochem. He's in the Shoresh, and the Shoresh, everything is one. The Afa Ta'emoloi Kehilchas HaPesach. We answer him Kehilchas HaPesach. Why is it we answered Kehilchas HaPesach? So as we described in the earlier discussed in the earlier Shiurim, that Kehilchas HaPesach is, first of all, the Kehilchas HaPesach was...